This audio message is a production of The Fields Church, located in Mattoon, Illinois. We're a church community that wants to help you follow Jesus Christ, connect to caring people, and passionately serve others. Visit us online at thefieldslive.com.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. I'm Travis, and the lead pastor here, and we're going to talk about living a different life than the rest of the world. Before we do that, I just want to say, man, we had an incredible weekend last weekend at Easter, and thank you guys for being a part of that, and so many people serving and helping and working different shifts than you usually do on your teams, and you guys are bringing people, inviting, and everything. It was awesome. I think we have a couple numbers. We had over 1,218 people come through the fields last weekend. So that was through all four services. That's awesome. That's, people are like, well, why do you care about numbers? Well, look at that, because 51 people gave their hearts to Jesus. And that's what it's all about. Absolutely. And numbers are people. People matter to God. Every single soul matters to God. And so your friends and your family and numbers matter because numbers are people. And people are the heart of God. And we want the heart of God as well. So we got these people who come. And some of you guys are in the room maybe for the first time or second time. You came last week. 51 people are saying, man, I'm ready to have a real relationship with Jesus. One of the next steps in having a relationship with Jesus is water baptism, and we have that coming up as well. And so April 29th, if you've not been baptized in water and you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a Christian today and you've never had that experience of being baptized, what baptism is you are identifying with what Jesus has done. It is it's an outward expression of an inward faith. And so Jesus, who died to self, and then he came back to life, and as we go underwater, we are saying the old is gone and the new is here when we come out, and it's really identifying as I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus, and it's publicly done so you can publicly let people know this is where my allegiance is. It's with Jesus. And so we have that coming up. But for students, we're doing a special one for students, which is awesome. May 6th, for shift that night, we're going to have a baptism bash just for students, middle school, high school students too. So a couple different baptism opportunities, one for adults on the 29th, one for students in their own shift service on May 6th. So we're excited about that, and those are some very healthy next steps for believers. And so if that's where you're at, mark that down on your info card that you are interested in water baptism, and it's just right there on the perforated area. Let us know. We would love to help you in that baptism. So let's talk a little bit about this new series called Different. It's because we called it Different because, to be honest, if you look around, everybody's doing the same thing, and they're trying to solve their problems, and they're living their life, and they're doing things, and to be honest, if you probably look at your coworkers and neighbors and just kind of look at the landscape of people, there's a lot of miserable people out there, and when they're miserable, if you watch their day-to-day life, they're all trying the same tricks of trying to get better. And they're trying to take the pain away, or trying to solve the problem or fix the finances. They're just trying to pursue all the same solutions, but nothing is changing. And so I just have to ask the question, maybe we need to be different. Are you ready to be different than everybody else? Are you ready to have a different approach to life? Because I believe if we take a different approach to life, it will lead us into a new direction. And it'll lead us into a direction that God wants us to live. And we don't have to keep doing the same thing over and over and over and it not working. Last couple nights ago, we took our family bowling to the bowling alley, and we were up in Champaign and decided to do something for kind of the end of their spring break here in Mattoon. And we went bowling. I know we're wild and crazy like that. But so I haven't bowled in a while. And I grabbed the ball, did the whole bowling thing. My first 2 to 3 throws were gutter balls. Gutter balls. I didn't even get down and hit a pin. you know? And I'm like, what is going on? I was like, this is not, do this on the Wii. You know, I was like, is the Wii, is that too old of a joke? And no one knows what a Wii is anymore. Anyway, but, so anyways, I'm like, every single ball is like, it leaves here and it goes way off to the right, down the gutter, nothing. So, because of today's awesome technology, I'm like, hey, Joy, you got to film me next time I bowl. Like, I want to see what I'm doing wrong, even though I have no idea how to bowl. It's like, I can't really film. Anyway, so she films me, or Riley films me, and I watch myself, and I was watching my hand, and my hand was just like a piece of noodle, you know, flopping, and it was like a dead fish, and the ball was just like, and went down the lane. I'm like, all right. And Joy's like, she like bowled like a 155, hit three strikes in a row. So at the time, she was the golf, or she was the professional. She was the bowling. I'm like, what am I doing wrong? And she's like, why don't you just try to throw it straight? I'm like, well, yeah, I mean. And she's like, wherever your hand ends, why don't you just like end it down by the pins? I'm like, that sounds like a good idea. And then I started ending it right down the pins, and it went straight. And I hit pins. Now, I never got a strike, but I did, like, I started hitting pins. And if I would have done the same thing over and over and over, it would have never fixed itself. And that's what happens in life. We just keep doing the same things over and over and over, and then we expect there to be change. Like, I don't know why my life's a mess. I'm doing the same thing I did yesterday. You know, and we just keep hitting repeat every day. We feel like, well, maybe if it's like Groundhog's Day and we just wake up and do it over again, it'll be different this time. But the reality is, if we don't change things in life, it's not going to change our life. And so it is time for us to live different. It's time for us to step back and go, maybe I need to approach life in a different way, and I need to hit repeat. Sometimes we just have to do something different. And I know there's a fear to that, because we look at everybody else and we're like, but everybody else is doing it this way. And I want you to know this. I'm going to challenge all of us over the next 4 weeks. It's time for us to take a leap and do something different like this. We need to look at this and go, maybe that's what I need to be. Maybe I need to say, you know what, it's time to do something different than the rest of the people around me. Now, not in this room, I'm talking your coworkers and your whatever, but the world around us is telling us how to live life. It's not working. And I just believe it's time for us to be different. What are areas of your life that you would love to see different results in, but nothing is changing? Maybe it's just stress. Could be relationships, just the regular parts of life that we wake up to every day, the financial side of life, the, you know, why am I even here? Why did I wake up today? What's my purpose? Why am I alive? What am I supposed to do? And I want us to say, maybe we are ready to do something completely different than the people around us. I'm going to encourage you over the next 4 weeks, come back, and we will unpack different areas, because I think different can be much better. Today, we're going to talk about one specific thing, is pursuing God's promises instead of pursuing the world's promises. We need to pursue what God has already promised us in Scripture, instead of going after some empty dreams, empty promises, the American dream, this, and this. And a lot of times we end up with empty promises. And things don't happen the way we thought or we're told they would happen. And so let's talk about pursuing God's promises. Because I think if we pursue his promises, you'll realize there's more to life. I honestly think there's people who just wake up and go, there's got to be more. There's got to be more to this life than the daily grind of the work, the kids, the doing the chores, getting it all done, and falling into bed at night totally exhausted just to wake up and do it again. I think there's people who just say, there's got to be more. There's got to be more to this life than that. And I would say God will offer us a different approach to life, because he promises us some things. And if we follow his promises, if we live out his promises and pursue those, he will change our lives forever, and it'll be for in such a good way. So we need to pursue his promises. Peter writes about that there are these promises of God, and that God has over the span of time given his people promises. And 2 Peter chapter 1:4 says this. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Everything we need, God's given it to us. We've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. So he's saying, Peter's writing to this church and saying, guys, you don't have to do this on your own. Like, instead of pursuing what you've always been pursuing your entire life, now it's time to pursue something different. It's time to pursue God's promises. And he says, listen, God has given us some great and precious promises. You know what a definition of a promise is? The definition of a promise is an offer that provides guaranteed results. Like, so if there is a promise, it means it will happen. Now, you guys and myself, sometimes we define promise differently because we've experienced so many broken promises and empty promises. So we don't define promise as an offer with guaranteed results. A lot of times in the natural, we define a promise as a good intention, but it may not happen. But when God promises something, it's going to happen. And it is an offer on the table that if we choose to take it, then there will be guaranteed results. And his promises lead to living and sharing and participating in his divine nature. What's that mean? What's divine nature? What's sharing in the it's participating in a supernatural life and not a natural life. Not just a natural life. You see, God is saying, if you want to live with me, for me, and we want to do this life together, guess what? You are going to share this supernatural life, which sets you apart from anybody else in your workplace, neighborhood. It will make you live a different life, but you're going to live a supernatural life, not just a natural one. And his promises, as we pursue those, he promises us if we live the way he wants us to live, then he will protect us, help us to escape from the world's corruption of all the evil. Now, does that mean bad things won't happen? No, not at all. Does it mean God is with us during those times? Yes. Does it mean he gives us the wisdom to avoid some folly that we get into on our own? Absolutely. Like, if we follow God and pursue him, he will help us avoid some of the big mistakes that we get ourselves into. I mean, just think of just the whole planet of humanity. If we would just follow the way God would want us to live, there would be so less problems in this world. But we start doing things our way instead of his way. And he's just saying, hey, listen, I promise you, if you hold on to my promises, then you're going to share in a life that is different and supernatural, and I will help you to escape and be protected from the world's corruption and all this evil and deception. Those are a couple promises that I want. And I don't think we fully realize the offer that's on the table. I think we just live life doing things ourselves, and we don't understand God has put this offer on the table and said, if you want it, take it. Run with it. Let's do this together. He sets the offer on the table, the promise to be with him. Now, God has offered these promises in life for almost since the beginning of us being God's people. And I want to be a little nerdy in history again today. As we, if you were with us before Easter, I helped us understand a little bit of what the Passover was and the meaning of Jesus going to the cross and that last meal that he had with the disciples, and that it was the Passover meal, and it was a meal that they had been sharing for thousands of years, because this meal, this celebration dinner, was actually celebrating how God had rescued the people from slavery out of Egypt even thousands of years before that, when Moses was leading the people. And so there's this celebration of remembering what God has done. And during the Passover meal, For thousands of years, God's people has been declaring and remembering these promises that God has given us. Now, we don't do this in Christian circles anymore where we have the big Passover meal and they have the lamb and they have the bread and then they would literally pour four cups of wine. And every cup was another promise and they would drink it and they would declare that promise. And I want us today to understand all the way back to over 5,000 years ago, God had told Moses, and he tells us today, that I have some promises for you. And if you would just live out and live in these promises, life will be different. But we have to pursue his promises. So let's take a look at these. This is what God said through Moses to the people. And they would have read this and known this every time they celebrated the Passover. For thousands of years, God's people has done this. So therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out of under the yoke of the Egyptians. Now these guys were slaves. These guys had no rights. They were this dictator, Pharaoh was over them. And they lost their ancestry, their culture, everything was stripped away from them. And God is saying, I am going to help you live a new life, a different life. And then he gives them, the Jewish culture would call these the four I wills. They would declare this at celebration of Passover, and they would drink their cup of wine, and they would declare, I will. I will, I will, I will. They would declare these four I wills, these four promises that are still for God's people today. And if be honest, the Fields Church is shaped around these four promises. I'm going to unpack this today to understand we are helping you pursue God's promises by just how we do church life around here. So let's take a look at this. The first one is, I will bring you out. That's what he said. I will bring you out of slavery. I will bring you out of a place where you were. I will move you. This is God's promise of salvation. I will save you from death. Now remember, the celebration of the Passover was literally the firstborn were being killed, and that they would paint blood over the posts and say, this death angel would pass over our homes and we would be saved from that final plague that took place during Moses' time. And he's saying, I will bring you out of this slavery. I will save you. And salvation and knowing God is the most important thing you and I can hold on to. A promise that God is like, I will bring you from death to life. I will help move you from a trajectory of heaven or from hell into heaven. I will move you from being you who just eventually die to those who will no longer perish, but will have everlasting life in me. And believe it or not, being saved, salvation, that is different thinking. There are more and more people in today's world that says, I don't even believe any of that stuff. So it's amazing to think we have to get right back to just believing God and the promise of I will save you, I will bring you out. And that is a promise that we need to pursue. Salvation isn't just, we confuse this a little bit. Salvation isn't just growing up in church. Salvation isn't what grandma thought. It isn't, well, my family goes, so I guess I've experienced this promise of salvation. It's not what your family does. It's in fact, it's not a church relationship. It's a God relationship. And too many of us confuse that, and we think, well, I have a relationship with a church. I attend, I go, I occasionally go, my grandma goes, my parents go. And we put our faith in a relationship with a church. That's not it. It's a relationship with God. And God is the one that's saying, I will bring you out. I'll bring you out. Titus, he was a young pastor in the early church, wrote this, or Paul wrote this to Titus. And he says this, in Titus chapter 3, look at this. This is out of, I want us to get this. This helps us understand this. It wasn't so long ago that ourselves were stupid and stubborn. Now I got to tell you, this is the message version. I wanted us to really understand this today. It wasn't very long ago that we were stupid and stubborn, dupes of sin, ordered every which way by our own glands. Everything within us, just our natural self driving us to be who we want to do. Going around with a chip on our shoulder, hated and hating back. So he's saying it wasn't very long ago that our life was pretty messy and different and actually the same as everybody else. But when God, our kind and loving Savior God, stepped in and saved us from all that, it was all his doing. We had nothing to do with it. He goes on and says this. He gave us a good bath, cleaned us up, and we came out a new people, a different new people, washed inside and out by the Holy Spirit. Our Savior Jesus poured out new life so generously. God's gift has restored our relationship with him and given us back our lives. And there's more to life to come. There's more life to come, an eternity of life. You can count on this. This is a promise. You can depend on this, that you have been saved when you follow Jesus. He says, I will bring you out. I will change your destiny. It's a promise. And he wants to take his people out of Egypt because they were slaves. And he wants to take us out of our own slavery to sin so we can be set free. He goes, I will take you out. The second promise that they would have then is, I will free you. It's this promise of freedom. So not only do we need to know God, which is very different thinking for a lot of people. Like, you can't know God. I mean, if you just watch TV, they were calling, you know, people crazy on TV for listening to God. No, you can actually know God. But now, God wants to free you. And there's this promise of him saying, I will free you. I will free you from your past. That's a promise of freedom. To think about that, God is promising us freedom from our past. We hold on to our past. We wear it. We wear the guilt of our past. It defines who we are. And God is saying, you can get out of your past. Now, the first one was this moment of salvation. I will set you free. I will take you out of Egypt. You are no longer slaves. It's just like that, you and I are become Christians. Just like that, you and I put our faith in Jesus and we are adopted into the kingdom of God. But this one, I will free you. It only takes a moment to get you out of Egypt, but now we got to get the Egypt out of you. Your past, what you've grown up in, the culture of maybe sinful living and upbringing and all this stuff that the world throws at us. And so this freedom is being freed from our past mistakes, bad habits, things that weigh you down, things that create stress in your life, things that create stress in your relationships, stress in your finances, things that we live our way instead of God's way, and we've done it for so long, it's hard to let it go. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You got an area of your life that's hard to let go. And God has a promise, I will free you from that. There's another word that we use, and it's called deliverance. I will deliver you out of Egypt. I will deliver you from your past. Now, you guys, sometimes we hear deliverance and we think wacky TV show, somebody, you know, wanting to like beat you over the head with a cross and they're going to paint on your cheeks or something, and it gets all funky and weird. This is a, I will deliver you from your past. I will free you from the weight that you still carry. And I think sometimes you're like, well, I don't want anybody to know about that. I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed that I used to be involved in that. I'm embarrassed that I still struggle in that today. I'm embarrassed that I'm supposed to be I'm a professional in the world, and I still struggle in this area of my life, and I don't want anybody to know about it. I'm embarrassed. Paul was could have been embarrassed. Paul was involved in a lot of sinful living, and he just had to declare, I can't do this on my own. I need to be set free from this. He writes this to the church in Romans. He says, I don't really understand myself. Like, I can read this, and I can put myself in this all the time. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right. Yep, check. But I don't do it. Yep, check. I know what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. So I'm not the one doing wrong. It's the sin living in me that does it. You can tell there's this tug of war going on in him. I know what's right, but I do what's wrong. I hate what I'm doing, and I still do it. You know what this is called? This is called regret. This is called continuing to stumble over the same thing over and over and over. And he goes, man, I wish I would quit doing this. And he goes, it's really not me. It's the sin living in me. Well, what's the promise of God? That he will free you from that. He will free you from that sin if we give it over to him, if we pursue that promise. He continues to write this in Romans. He says, so now there is no condemnation, no guilt, nobody making fun of, no reason to be embarrassed for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads you to death. When God says, I will free you, he means it. That is a promise you can count on. And if you're struggling and struggling and struggling over the same thing, he can clean you up. He can wash you. And over time, this is an over time process. Over time, he takes the Egypt out of you. Over time, all the years of bad habits or addictive living or whatever you might be carrying with you, he will set you free from some of those unhealthy ways, those unhealthy habits, and those sins. Now at church, at the Fields Church, this idea of I will free you and this idea of finding freedom, we do that in groups because we believe that we do that in the context of relationships. Where together, you get together with one another and you talk about these things and you realize God has a different plan. God has a different way of doing life. God has a different way of seeing this or living this out. And the only way you do that is when you've got people in your life willing to help you down that road. Sometimes they just have to open up our own eyes. But we do that in the context of groups. I'd encourage every single one of you guys to consider being involved in a group. And that's where we find that people really experience true freedom. And we can pursue that promise of God when God says, I will free you. The other promise in this Passover promise of the Jewish culture that's for us today too is he goes, I will redeem you. So he says, I'm gonna take you out. I'm going to free you, and I'm going to redeem you. Now, this idea of redemption, redeeming someone, it's this God's promise of saying you have purpose. I'm going to change what you think about yourself and say, you know what? No, you are meant for good. You were meant to live life with purpose. I will redeem you and make you worthy. I will redeem you and help complete you. Ephesians chapter 2:10 says this. Paul says this to the church in Ephesus. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. That's the redemption. It's going from your old self to your new self. He's like, Jesus has created us new into a new masterpiece so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. See, it's when we put our faith in Jesus and we start following him, now all of a sudden the promise of I will redeem you, he fixes us, he changes us, he shapes us into being someone completely different. He goes on and says this, Ephesians chapter 1 says it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. We get to discover our purpose. I've said this a lot. The most important day of your life is the day you're born. The second most important day of your life is the day you discover why you were born. And there's too many people that have no idea why they wake up and why they live and why they exist. But it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on you. Had designs on you for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. He wants to redeem you. He wants to help you find your design. He gives you the promise of purpose. Did you know that there is a study on purpose that 87% of people don't know why they exist on planet? 87% said, I don't know. That's Christians too. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to really do in life. We don't know our function. Can you imagine 87% of your body not knowing what to do? Like your lungs wake up, I don't know what I'm supposed to do today. You know, your arms like, I don't know. I just kind of hang here. I had nothing to do. I don't know why I'm here. And your heart like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But you see, the body of Christ, and if you read Corinthians, it talks about that we all have purpose and we all have unique purpose and that you and I, we've all been gifted differently. We have skills and abilities and we're shaped differently in God's eyes and he helps us all have a unique purpose for his body, the church. And if 87% of us we don't know why we exist and we don't know what our purpose is, all we are is a flopping arm doing no good. But we've got to discover that God wants to redeem you. He wants to change you. He wants you to understand the design that he has in your life. That is a promise. He promises to help you understand your purpose. He promises that you've been designed on purpose, with purpose. At the Fields Church, that's why we do Growth Track every single Sunday. At 10:45 in the second service, back in the admin area, behind the cafe, people are trying to go into class and go into Growth Track, and they're going to discover their purpose. It's going to be 4 different weeks, and it's going to help them understand that God has redeemed them with purpose. Because that's a promise of God. I will redeem you. And then the fourth one, it's interesting. He says, every one of these is very personal. I will take you. I will free you. I will redeem you. It's very individual, very individualistic of what God can do in your life. And then this last one, he says, I will take you as my own people. And all of a sudden, he takes all these individual people that he's working with, and he's like, and we're all going to come together. And I'm going to take you and we're going to be family. I'm going to take you and we're going to be in this together as a kingdom. We're going to be a part of God's team. And he says, listen, I will take you as my own people. All of a sudden, it's collective. And it's God's promise of his family. And he's promising, I will give you family. I will give you togetherness. I will give you unity. I will give you people that you can call home and and together. In other words, God wants you on his team. He wants you on his team. He wants you to be his people, representing him, active in his kingdom, in his family. And he wants you to be a part of what he's doing, which means you and I, we get to make a difference in somebody else's life. We get to do something on God's behalf for somebody else. There's no better feeling than laying down, putting your head on that pillow at night and knowing I made a difference in somebody's life today. Because if we lay down at night and we're like, I don't even know why I'm here, that leads to miserable, miserable thinking. And I want to tell you, we need to be different. We need to go to bed at night going, I'm making a difference. And the only way you and I are going to really be making a difference is if we realize that we are God's people and he wants us on his team. The day after Easter, or maybe the night of Easter that night, I was kind of flipping through your guys' Facebook posts and reading all the social media chatter. And it was one of the, Jess Schweitzer, who goes to church here, she wrote down just, I love being a part of something bigger than myself. I think we shared maybe the post that so many people got saved or whatever. And she just said, I love being a part of something that's bigger than myself. You know what she's saying? I like being a part of his people. I like being a part of a team. I like making a difference collectively as a church of what God has for us. There's no greater joy than making a difference in somebody's life. And we get to do that on a team. And when you're on a team, listen, and you're making a difference in someone's life, that's what brings fulfillment. That is what a lot of this world is missing, is fulfillment. And that's why we need to be different. We need to know God. We need to find freedom and experience that freedom. We need to discover our purpose. And we need to make a difference in other people's lives. And when we do that, we will be living differently than most people on this planet. But guess what? We will feel fulfilled. It's not how much money's in the bank. It's not what's in the retirement. It's not what my title is. It's not if I got the corner office or the basement office. It's, am I fulfilled? And God has designed you to be fulfilled differently, supernaturally, than the natural world. A supernatural fulfillment is when you know you are making an eternal difference and you are life-giving to somebody else. And we're a part of being life-giving. You will feel fulfilled. And those four promises that God's given us, which is pretty unique because he gives it to us in that picture. Like, he helps us learn. And so every time they celebrated the Passover, they would pour these four cups of wine, and it was a covenant, a promise. Every time they drank it, they would declare the covenant. They would declare the promise. They would declare the I wills. Can you imagine this? That you and I are living something out that's been done for 5,000 plus years of people gathering and saying, you know, they're looking at their Savior and they're saying, they're taking this drink and they're saying, I will bring you out, declares the Lord. I will free you, declares the Lord. I will redeem you and I will take you as my own people. These promises are life-changing, but we got to pursue his promises, not just our own. And when we pursue the promises, let me break it down really simple. He wants you to know him personally, the promise of salvation. He wants you to find freedom from your past. That promise of freedom. He wants to help you discover your purpose. It's the promise that you have a design in your life. And he wants to give you the promise of family, something bigger than yourself. His family, a godly family that says we're all doing this together. We're in this together to make a difference. And this will bring you fulfillment. John writes this in chapter 10, verse 10. He talks about the relationship we have with Jesus and then the struggle of the world around us. And this is what he says. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come so they can have life and life to the full. What a promise to say, you know what? If you follow the world's ways, the Satan is going to lead you right down a road that only leads to things that are stolen, death, and destruction. He says, but if you put me in your life, I have come that you may have life and that you can have life to the full, fulfillment in him. I can tell you what, that is different thinking. There are too many people in this world chasing their own dreams and they're trying to go after their own promises and they're trying to fill that emptiness that's inside of them. And they are pursuing empty promises. But if we would just start living a different way by pursuing God's promises, salvation and freedom and purpose and being on his team to make a difference, life will be different for us. I want life to be different for you. As your pastor, I want you to wake up and go, man, my life just, when I walk with God, it is good. Which means we have to do things different than the people around us. And so today, we want us to pursue God's promises. If you close your eyes, I'm going to ask you some questions, and I just want you to let this soak in. Do you need to know God today? Do you need to know him? Do you need to find freedom from your past? You're carrying the guilt and you need God just to free you from that. You need to let go of a habit or an addiction, something that you're carrying. Do you need to discover your purpose? And you're ready to be shaped the way God has uniquely shaped you, and you're ready to discover that. Are you ready to make a difference in other people's lives? And to know that every day you wake up, God wants to use you to help somebody else. It's time for us to live a different life, to start knowing God. Some of you guys need to get baptized, jump into growth track, and realize life can be different. I'm going to pray for you. Jesus, there's some of us in the room that need to know you, that we've drifted away and we don't have a real relationship with you. And I pray today they would take their very first step in living differently by just wanting to know you. And I pray that right now they would begin a real relationship with you. I pray for people in the room that need to let go of their past. And they need to experience your freedom, God. And they need to let go of an addiction or a habit that's causing them to stumble and fall and it brings hurt and pain in their life or other people's lives. I think there's someone in this room that struggles with an addiction. Listen, God is telling you, you are not stuck, but you can experience freedom. You just have to let it go. And you got to let God come in and free you. Let him take the chains off of you. Let him take off your handcuffs. Let him take off the bondage. You don't have to carry it anymore. That addiction, I'll be really, really, I think it's alcohol related. And just know you don't have to keep going back there. God wants to free you from it. Maybe you're needing to discover purpose, make a difference. God, work in their lives today. Work in their lives. Lord, we all admit that we're sinners in need of a Savior. We believe in you, Jesus, that you died and you rose again. And by the power of your resurrection is the power of life changing us. So help us have a new life. Breathe life into us today, God. Help us understand when we walk with you, there's no better life than to walk with you, Jesus, that we don't have to do this all alone anymore. Help us to make a difference in somebody else's life so we can all do this together. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.